Welcome to today's podcast. With us is Karen Coya, Account Executive for Medicare at My Benefit Advisor. Karen has been working with Medicare clients for 7 years. Today's topic is how does Medicare affect COBRA? So welcome, Karen. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you very much. As we begin, I'd like to open with a refresher on COBRA. Then, Karen, you can share your expertise about Medicare and how the COBRA interactions happen with Medicare. So some basics about COBRA. COBRA is the Consolidated Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act, which requires group plans to offer continuation coverage to covered employees, former employees, spouses, former spouses, and dependent children when group health coverage would otherwise be lost due to certain events. Those events could be a covered employee's death, a covered employee's job loss or reduction in hours for reasons other than gross misconduct, a covered employee's becoming entitled to Medicare, a covered employee's divorce or legal separation, and a child's loss of dependent status and therefore coverage under the plan. COBRA generally applies to all private sector group health plans maintained by employers that had at least 20 employees on more than 50% of its typical business days in the previous calendar year. Both full-time and part-time employees are counted. Part-time employees are a fraction of a full-time employee. So, Karen, I'll pass it on to you now to give us a brief description about Medicare.
Just to make sure everybody understands, there are two moving parts to Medicare. There is Part A, which is your hospitalization coverage, and Medicare Part B, which is all your doctor's services. A lot of employees who remain actively employed over the age of 65 do not take Medicare Part B when they're first eligible. The goal for me today is to make sure with today's podcast that HR teams as well as employees understand that when you first are eligible for Medicare and waive Part B and you go to take it at a later time, that there's been a lot of mistakes being made when you're adding Part B at a later date and you have the option for COBRA. So I'm hoping with Shelley today that we can clear up some of those rules around Medicare and COBRA.
Thank you, Karen. I'm sure that we'll be able to do that. So my first question is, can you take COBRA if you are 65 or older?
The answer is yes, you can. But there always is a but. But if you go on COBRA and you are eligible for Medicare, so you're over age 65, you waived Part B, now you're considered eligible for Medicare, COBRA will always sit secondary to Medicare Part A and Part B.
Is COBRA always secondary to Medicare?
The answer is yes, again. If you are over 65, and again, initially waive Part A and Part B. You're going to hear that a lot in this podcast, but you initially waive maybe Part A and B or maybe just Part B. Once you are no longer actively employed, Medicare becomes primary, which brings up a very important piece to Medicare, that when you are over the age of 65, there are three criteria that allow you to waive Medicare and still be compliant to add it at a later date with no penalties or issues with Medicare. Those three criteria are that you are on an employer group of more than 20 employees, which Shelley had already touched on, that you are on credible group or employer coverage, and that you are remaining actively employed. So as long as you meet those three criteria, You are within your right when you turn 65 to not take Medicare A and B or just Part B. So that's what a lot of people wind up doing. So you need to understand that as soon as you are getting ready to retire, and one or more of these three criteria is no drops off, Medicare at that point becomes your primary coverage.
Karen, you make it so easy to understand by laying out all that information. Thank you. My next question is, what could happen if someone takes COBRA when they are eligible for Medicare?
When you're first eligible for Medicare and you go on COBRA and not add the Medicare piece, there are two major points I'd like to go over in the podcast where people really get themselves into a bind. The first one would be when you go on COBRA without enrolling in Medicare and you have a catastrophic medical event happen. You think because you're paying for this employer coverage that you're now paying the premium for, in your mind nothing has happened, but what that insurance carrier will do is when they get the bills and they see that you're over the age of 65 and they see that it is COBRA, you're paying for that benefit, they will pay those medical bills as secondary carrier. They are assuming that you have Medicare Part A and Part B, again, because you're over the age of 65, and by you being on COBRA, they know you're no longer actively employed, which then COBRA paying secondary leaves you with some pretty hefty bills. So that's the first thing that I've seen happen, more than I would like to see happen. The second thing is Medicare has very specific enrollment periods and time frames for when you need to add Medicare, when your employer coverage is ending, when those three criteria we discussed go away. If you take COBRA and you don't add Medicare, you could actually lock yourself out of the enrollment period of when you were able to add Medicare because you were leaving employer coverage. So then what happens is you are always given what is called the initial enrollment period from January through March. But if your COBRA ends in July and you can't add Part B until the next January, and then even then it's not effective until the following July, you could wind up with a year of having no Part B coverage in place and not being able to add it. And when you're over the age of 65, you know, I don't think anybody wants to go a year with no health insurance.
No, that's definitely a very scary option to have, and it's good that you're laying it out so clearly so that people can understand the dangers of taking COBRA as opposed to enrolling in Medicare when you're eligible to do that. And can you share some stories or some experiences that you've had with clients who got themselves into this bind and how it got resolved?
Absolutely. I would actually love to, because I am seeing this happen more and more where people are getting themselves into this bind. So one thing that HR departments and employees and companies should be aware of, you know, a lot of times when people are getting ready to retire, they've built in packages or programs that the company feels that they're doing a great thing by paying for COBRA benefits for people. Maybe sometimes it's 3 months, sometimes it's 6 months, sometimes it's just part of the package that they're getting in retirement. So as an employee, you have to understand that it's great that your company's paying for this COBRA benefit, but you still need Medicare in place if you're over the age of 65. As an employer, maybe we should start reevaluating when these packages are offered if the employees are over age 65. There's probably better things that you can do to help compensate somebody who's worked for the company for a lot of years. Then the other big example that I would like to give is when an employee takes COBRA just because, you know, they think, and this is a misconception, that if they're covering, while they're still actively employed and still working and they're on their group plan, they have a spouse that is younger than them. Sometimes it's not only a spouse, it could be children that have not aged off yet. Maybe they're still in college and they're under the age of 26, so they haven't aged off the employee coverage. So the employee is ready to retire. They go to retire, and now they're realizing they think that they don't need to go on Medicare because they want to make sure that spouse is covered for their time on COBRA. So I'd like to set the record straight. Anybody who is leaving employer coverage and is eligible for Medicare, that does not mean your spouse or your children will not get an option to go onto that COBRA benefit by themselves. They will get that option. You can still go on Medicare and they can still enroll in COBRA. You know, there's a lot of pieces that go to this that we want to make sure that that's the right choice for everybody. And my benefit advisors is more than willing to help you with that. But again, just to clear up any misunderstandings, is a spouse or children can go on COBRA without the employee. So I hope those few things will help people not make this mistake and get in the binds that I'm seeing out there with employees going on COBRA when they're over the age of 65.
Those were some really good examples, Karen, and yes, you're absolutely correct that when it comes time when someone turns 65, they have a lot of questions. As they're getting close to that period, it's always good to turn to someone like you, who is an expert in all the ways of Medicare and can counsel them on, specific to their family situation, what would be the best way for them to handle their situation. And it's also good to remember that Medicare is an individual situation, as opposed to when we talk about COBRA, it's coming from a group plan and group offering. So Karen's exactly right that any person who is on the medical plan the day prior to the termination of health insurance or termination of employment, they have their own right to enroll in COBRA. So Karen is absolutely correct in saying that if the former employee doesn't take COBRA, the rest of the family will still be okay if COBRA is what they need. So Karen, anything else that you'd like to add before we wrap this up?
No, that's a lot of information all in one podcast, but I think it's all great. And thank you, Shelley, so much for allowing me to bring this topic that I'm passionate about with Medicare and COBRA, because I've seen the ramifications when people, no fault of their own, don't do the right thing at the right time.
Well, thank you, Karen, for being our guest today. I hope you found this podcast helpful and informative. If you have any questions, please contact your account manager or account executive. And this podcast is designed to highlight various employee benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or tax professional. Thank you for listening.